Good morning, precious Church of God. It's really a big privilege that I can come to your home in this way, bringing you the Word of God. It's really a big honor and responsibility. And before going into the Word of God, I want to ask you, are you expecting to hear something from me, or are you waiting for God to tell you something? It's really an important question. And if you are only expecting from me, it's normal to fall in love with certain preachers, leaders. You love how they talk and you expect answers from them. But if you only want to hear my thoughts, I think you have enough of your own. But if you are waiting from God, I'm certain that God will use me to serve you, to bring you some answers, to tell you what you need to hear. So let's all together wait from God, wait from Christ and Holy Spirit to talk and work in our lives. Okay, so today I'm going to continue the series of sermons about shackles. Shackles, where they come from, how to break them. And today I'm going to take the third source, the reason of where these shackles come from, these bonds, where they are born. What's the source? So basically, it's the things that we have learned from the example, which we have seen in our parents' lives, our church leaders, teachers, friends, movies, internet, where you have spent your time, and unconsciously or consciously we have formed a certain understanding of behavior, and which we repeat, and that they're not necessarily good. And if we are not careful enough, they can become shackles that take away that life that Christ gave us. So, want to show you what is the wrong approach to examples. But first of all, I want to tell you that Bible is teaching us that we should learn from examples, from good examples. We should know and learn from them. Even Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." It's really a brave statement to say that he said, told people to follow his example as he follows Christ. And even if we remember Jesus, who is supposed to be our example, in which way, which approach he was using to teach something to his followers. He chose 12 of his disciples, and during all these 3 years, when they were walking with him, he was showing with his example. If he wanted to break down some human traditions that were not from God or understandings, he was simply using certain life situations to prove or teach something, how people should react in certain situations or events. And one of them I remember the most because it's about women. I remember when a Samaritan woman came to Jesus at the well, they started talking, and everyone around was surprised, shocked, because it was not allowed in their, not common in their culture. He wanted to break these shackles that were on their minds in the culture for many, many years in their understanding. So first of all, he wanted to prove that man and woman are equally loved by God as His creation, human beings. Women cannot be treated less worthy of attention or love. The second thing he showed was that Samaritans was equally loved by Israelites, by Jewish people, his nation. It was a shock for them because that's not what they understood. That's not what their fathers, their parents were teaching. But Jesus wanted to prove a new point, show something. And if he wanted to teach them, he walked the journey together. He put them in certain situations. He showed how we should react in life events. Let's say when we come to shortage of food, and you question what to do now. Jesus showed that you remain calm, you don't stress, you trust in God, you approach God the Father in trusting Him, and how miracles come. Everywhere He showed example of His behavior, His actions in the storm, and when he was approaching religious leaders, how to oppose religion, to keep the respect for humans. And if you parents think that you will learn, teach your children only by telling them what to do, telling them what is good, but not showing with your lifestyle, your behavior, It is a hypocrisy, and they will only remember how you behave. If you only teach them good things but behave the oppositely, it's not good. And your children will know what to do in difficult situations like diseases, illnesses. If you put your hands, if you trust in God, if you pray, your children will know what to do. We all influence each other by our behavior, what we see in each other. And we have to look at God, at God's Word, as our example. We really have to be attentive. And we have to always analyze where our behavior is coming from. Try to notice the source, certain behavior patterns, brought them, what's the source of them in your life. Maybe some of the things you even do unconsciously, you repeat the same mistakes of your parents, but maybe you even hate it in their behavior in your childhood. All these bad examples we perceive in a few ways. So one of them is when you see, for example, your mom and dad always fighting, shouting, huge conflicts, emotional. They always argue in very loud way. And, for example, maybe throughout time it became normal for you. You thought maybe that's how it's supposed to be. So it's not surprising that when certain situations come in your life, you'll try to solve them in the same way, the same behavior pattern that you have learned. And you see that this is not working, and you see that people are being hurt, and you feel a pain inside, and you can start judging them by condemning them, saying, I will never be like my mom or dad that did certain bad things, that had bad habits. I will never, let's say, drink or smoke like somebody did. And all these bad examples that we perceived in a bad way, they become shackles. They become shackles in our minds. And some grown-up Christians think that I'm a grown-up, I can now watch whatever I want, and it doesn't affect me. But this is not mature way. This is your pride speaking, not the maturity. This is a very unsafe place to be, because remember that whatever you hear, whatever you see, is directly influencing you. The Bible is warning us, is teaching us to look after our ears, our eyes, because that's how we perceive information. That's where information reaches our minds, and we can unconsciously become shackled. And then we also what we learn, we start to treat others the same way. And I really want to encourage you this week to analyze yourself a bit more. Like if you notice certain behavior, certain ideas, try to see where they came from, what's the source, and really want to encourage to follow the example of God and example of His Word, the Bible, and just to analyze, is your authority the Word of God? It has to be synchronized with the Word of God. Whatever you're doing, is your behavior compatible with God's love, with God's teaching? Does it bring love, or does it bring destruction? So really try to just watch yourself, how you behave with your family, your children. So I want to show what is the most common sources of our behavior. As even the psychologists say, as we do in counseling, when people come with some issues, we try to come back to their childhood, what they saw as being a child in their parents' behavior. Also, church leaders, the home groups, leaders, we all will come before God. We will have to bring everything before His, everything will be revealed, how we lived our life before Him and before people. There cannot be double standards, hypocrisy. Everything will be put into light. There are no perfect people, and of course we all do mistakes. And now I'm not afraid to be imperfect anymore before your eyes, because I'm also learning. I'm in the process to follow Christ, to learn from Him, and there's no condemnation in that. We learn from each other. Brothers and sisters in church or in real families, we really influence each other. And of course, when a new person comes to church, he will search for these people to look up to take their example of behavior because he's a new follower of Christ. So we have to feel and be responsible how we behave before these peoples because they learn from us. Everyone learns from us, from each other. Also friends in our lives, as the saying goes, show me who your friends are and I will tell you who you are. If I look at your friends who you spend time with, I can notice where certain behavior or thinking is coming from. Also, some movies or influencers nowadays that people follow on media, on internet, they really they form our behavior and minds. And I remember from my life when my daughter was younger, and she was always watching this Disney Channel and some TV show for teenagers, for children, Hannah Montana. And I never thought it could be anything harmful or wrong. But one day I decided to sit down together with her and see together what she's watching. Just my eyes opened. I thought, my daughter is watching that every day. This character, Hannah, that is talking very disrespectfully to her parents, her dad, her friends. What is she learning from that? What is she taking? Am I being blinded? And I even started noticing that certain behavior patterns of her was coming directly from that show, not from us, not from my example. But and of course, we later had to say no to that show, and a lot of conflicts were, but that's what had to be done for the sake of growth. And my youngest son, Timothy, he's also watching this cartoon, Chipmunks, Alvin. And that chipmunk, that little mouse, he's a real rebel against his teachers, everyone around him. He's forming the mind of my child, of my son. No, everything I'm trying to teach him, now I came to the conclusion that he also has other sources where he's learning from. So I don't want him to get any wrong ideas or behavior examples. So the same way with grown-ups, they also watch these movies that have a lot of, let's say, wrong relationship examples, cheating on your partner, your girlfriend, boyfriend, or wife, husband. They're just showing how they're changing partners without any commitment, any responsibility, just following their flesh desires and lust to nature. When they show some intimacy, it's more like behaving like animals. And then people are being surprised why they have so much impure thoughts, so much desires and lusts in their body, in their flesh. Why is it so difficult to live pure life? Because that's what people become full of by watching these movies. And why young children are playing games that are full of violence, killing, blood. And I know boys like sometimes to make swords from wood and imitate soldiers, warriors, and it's okay, but these violent views that they take into their minds, it's harmful and it's forming certain understanding about human value. And please do not lie to yourself and just really be careful on who and what influences you. It will have a meaning, it will have a result in your life. The young girls nowadays, who are they following? Normally now it's very popular to follow certain celebrities or influencers. And I've seen these ladies with makeup, big breasts, long eyelashes, and now it's considered to be the beauty standard, and all the girls look up to that. Or some boys that are bragging of how many partners they had, of their without any guilt or shame, as if would be some kind of accomplishment. But as some Christians on default say, yes, my authority is Christ or the Word of God. But you know how you can really tell if it's true is look at where you spend the most of your time. How many time, how much time per day do you read the Word of God? Do you come to God in prayer? And how much time per day do you watch some soap operas, follow gossip, some TV shows, and just be honest before God, before yourself. There's no need to be living lie in denial. That respect and fear of God has to come back to our lives, that we would desire to sit at the feet of our Lord like Maria. It's a lie, it's a mistake to think that we can see and hear whatever we want and then live as nothing is wrong. Is it everything you watch? Ask always, is it really worthy of what I'm watching? We only have 24 hours in a day. And always basically ask, is everything you do, is it worthy in the long run? Will it bring something good? And I think people will notice that in some areas they are already in shackles and they have to break free. They have to basically have to get rid of them. Also, when I come back to the church leaders, pastors, we should never try to act as if we are super people, superhumans, superman. It's absolutely okay to open up, to be weak, to show that maybe you have failed or in some parts you need prayer and support. Sometimes it's temptation to think, but I'm a leader, I can't be weak, I can't tell that something is difficult, I'm struggling, and I can't cry in front of people. What will they think? They will think that I'm weak. So when we look at our leaders, we as leaders should not try to be who we are not. Just we should not try to look better than we actually are. So we also have to talk about difficulties, about struggles, give people examples, because they will walk through the same things. We have to teach them how to behave in difficult situations. And the Bible teaches that we should carry each other's burdens, we should ask for help, we should support each other. Even Paul himself was asking Christians to pray for him. He was saying, it's difficult for me, I'm struggling, I'm feeling... He was very open about his feelings, how he felt, and he was always asking, pray for me, please keep me in your prayers. And we see these leaders that they're successful, they're happy, but the next day we hear that something happened. They fought, they fell down, their family broke, they get into some addictions, they experience some mental breakdown. And you think, why did it happen? I think we should be open to each other, open and not try to pretend that everything is okay, that we don't have any problems. We just have to be open and share with others and support each other. And as parents, when we make mistakes, when maybe you didn't show a good examples, and I really ask parents, if you did something wrong in the eyes of your child, of your children, please be humble and say sorry to them. If you came into conflict in the eyes, before the eyes of your children, please make peace in their eyes, say sorry in their eyes, teach them that it's good to apologize. Because if they always see you as perfect or without making any mistakes, in their mind it becomes shackles. I remember my son Paul when he was younger. I was always trying to be perfect before him. The righteous mom, Christian mom, raise my child according to the Word of God, the Bible. But I remember one time he did something wrong and I put him on the before my eyes, and I was already giving him a sermon of how I was teaching him what he did was wrong, how he should behave. And he said, Mommy, I can't be perfect at all the time. I can't be perfect. He said that in such an open, honest way. And I was thinking, am I really not putting him into some perfectionism? Am I not trying to suffocate him with that perfectionist shackles? It becomes a real burden for child. We live a life before the eyes of God, and sometimes we make mistakes. We are not perfect, and it's a process. It's a process of learning, of learning from our mistakes. And even in friendships with our friends, when you wrong them, when you do something wrong, be quick to apologize and acknowledge that you were wrong. Do not try to search for excuses to always prove that you were right. Because if you do not learn, you will always notice the same patterns in other relationship. You can run away from one person, but you will meet another one, and the same things will follow if you did not learn your lessons. Without any judgments, any anger in our hearts. Let's learn to confront each other in a respectful and loving way. And next times we will learn how to behave, when how to act when somebody is holding us with control, with shackles. How to react if somebody is trying to put it on us, how we should respond. So let's learn to analyze everything in our lives. What is good we keep, what is evil we get rid of, what is not useful for us. So moving on to the end, I want to remind you what we have spoken before earlier in these sermons. So the first breaking point from shackles is coming to end of the road. While you don't feel uncomfortable, while everything is okay, you are not tired of certain behavior, you will keep repeating and doing it. And I remember when our church began, we never planned to start a church. It just happened because it was God's desire and wish. I remember our church was formed from many different people that came from different backgrounds in Lithuania, in different churches, confessions, and they all brought their understanding, trying to teach how we should run the church according to their tradition. And even without realizing, they were trying to put these shackles on our minds, on us. And yes, as leaders, we have to listen and hear out people, their suggestions, ideas. But it doesn't mean that you have to always agree with everything, always practice everything. And God is not put into any traditions, any understandings. He cannot be limited, because there are so many different traditions, movements. But if we realize that it's only a human tradition, we can feel free to change this later on. Because if we put God into these frames, into certain traditions, we kind of limit Him. Because maybe one day our understanding and perception will change. So we always have to be free to move according to how God is leading us, what He's saying for today. We have to be flexible. When we look to how people are celebrating some celebrations, feasts, and in our homes. I know that in many households, celebrations can be stressful, that when a woman is accusing everyone that they're not helping, she's trying to jump around, to do everything on her own, to make everything run perfectly, make as many meals as possible. But stop and ask yourself, why am I behaving in this way? Why am I doing this? Where is it coming from? Maybe you have seen in your mom how your mom or grandmother was behaving. And while we are okay with that, we will do it. But when we finally come to the end of the road, when we can't take it anymore, that's when we start to change. And first and second thing, we have to stop blaming and judging others. Maybe you are holding on to some bad things that happened to you 25 years ago, what some church leader, some brother or sister told you, and you're still carrying that in your heart as you still accusing, blaming your parents or church leaders for their behavior in the past. And you always understand yourself as a victim. Please stop seeing yourself in this way. And some of us are really stuck in these things. They try to justify certain behavior, why they behave in, for example, somebody's trying to justify their bad behavior because of somebody else was not treating them right in the past. You are not a victim. Please stop crying. Stop feeling this way. Rise and stand as a woman and man of God. Take the word of God into your hand and understand that you're loved, you're valued, you're really worthy. Every time when we spot, when we recognize a lie, it is moving away, it is disappearing. When we put it into the light, it's revealed and it can finally leave and go away. Please do not put all the blame on others, on Hollywood, on parents, on church leaders, friends. Some people are always saying, it's Satan who forced me to do something. It's always him who's tricking me into something. There is even a joke about it. Like one monk was on a fasting and he really was feeling so hungry. He was hiding certain snacks, food under his table, his bed, and then the leader comes in and saying, where is this coming from, this smell? What is going on here? And that monk says, it's the Satan who is doing this, it's not me. So it's our responsibility and we have to watch our behavior, our actions, We have to stop blaming others. So when we come to realization that it's our responsibility, we come to we have to say sorry, apologize. It has to be repentance and giving yourself into the hands of God and asking for God's help, saying, Holy Spirit, please help me. I need your help. I need you to guide me. I need to put make the word of God my authority, my something that I listen to and I follow. And I want to, before finishing, giving another example of how in my family, my relatives, normally we had a lot of divorces in the families. And normally ladies, women were always making that decision. And I realized that me as a young girl, I got these shackles. I got this wrong perception that if there's difficulties, if it's problems in life, you just run away, you leave, just drop everything and find a new family, find a new activity. So even in our family with the Arus, when something was wrong, I was always saying, that's it, we're getting a divorce. Darius was saying, you're not going anywhere, we're not divorcing, because he saw the good example in his family. So that was following me for a long time, this bad pattern, this behavior that everything I did, activities, hobbies, trying to learn new skills, music, art, trying to play new instruments. Whenever I felt that it's taking a lot of effort, it's difficult, I just drop it and leave it and move on. Especially with these strings, guitars, when you feel pain, it's first of all, it's really difficult. So you just drop it and move on. And I know that. When I came to this realization, this conclusion, I came to the end of the road, I was thinking, what is wrong with me? Why I never accomplish anything? Why I never succeed? I always want to run away. And I had to be open and honest before God, saying, I don't want to behave in this anymore. Please, God, help me. Because I had to name it. I had to be honest about my struggle, saying, I really can't finish what I started. Please help me, Lord. Because when we look at the example of Christ, he was never, ever leaving what he has started. Even with Peter, it was with his disciples. It was a big process until they finally came to realization, until they finally become who they were meant to become in God. It was a big process of learning, teaching. I realized that I do not have these traits like commitment, remaining. Basically, just continuing what I have started and being faithful in something. And I can be honest that without God, I probably wouldn't have stayed in church for 21 years, and it has been only by God's grace, by His mercy, that I have remained a pastor of this church. I said, God, I really know that if it's not you, I would probably would have run away many, many times. And I remember my prayers. I was always asking, Holy Spirit, please hold me, please keep me, please sustain me, that I don't run away, because that's always tempting me. So it all has started from when I came to this end of road, this realization of my wrong patterns of behavior. So realization, repentance, and acknowledging that you need God's help and guidance. I never finished some of things I have started, like music, school of art, music. Maybe I will still learn to play piano as we have it at home. So what we do, we come before God. We let God light, shine His light onto our situations, reveal where we have to change and help to guide us into deliverance and setting us free. And now I want to invite you for prayer. I know that some of you have taken a lot of good thoughts from this written down and have decided to make some good changes. Turn off that Netflix that's on since early morning until late night. I know some of you, God is rising this new desire to follow Him and change your life. God, I really pray for Your mercy, Your grace that You give to each one of us. Please forgive. Please forgive when I was letting my mind be influenced by wrong sources, wrong things. I let these wrong words about my church leaders, my boss at work. I'm sorry that I have judged someone, that I have not been careful when choosing who to follow, who to believe, who to watch and see in my everyday life. I'm sorry if I have not been a good example, maybe for my parent, for my children, if I was not careful of what they're watching and putting into their heads. I really thank You that You clean and restore our households. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You open our eyes to see where we are wrong. And I pray that everyone finally come to realize that they need change. They need to break free from certain bad habits and behaviors, patterns. I thank You for that freedom that You gained on the cross. And that is filling our hearts newly. I thank You that everything that needs to go away, You're cleansing away. You're removing it from our lives. You're making us a new creation. I thank You, Jesus, for Your holy presence.